Okay, so are we recording?
Yes.
All right. This is John Solosky, president of BOLT, the Library Trustees Board. And to start the meeting, welcome everyone. I'm going to read the public advisory that allows us to, we are video conferencing and in some cases, teleconferencing tonight. Nobody is meeting in person because of the shelter in place. And the public advisory states, pursuant to Section 3 of Executive Order N-29-20, issued by Governor Newsom on March 17th, 2020, the May 6th, 2020 meeting of the Board of Library Trustees will be conducted exclusively through teleconference and Zoom video conference. Please be advised that pursuant to the executive order and the shelter in place order, and to ensure the health and safety of the public by limiting human contact that could spread the COVID-19 virus, there will not be a physical meeting location available. Now, is there a question? I'm not showing up on the screen.
I see you, John.
Okay, yes. You see. I don't see myself. That's interesting. All right. I will continue to submit an email comment during the meeting to be read aloud during public comment. Email BOLT, that's B-O-L-T, at cityofberkeley.info. BOLT, B-O-L-T, at cityofberkeley.info, with the subject line in this format: public comment item number such and such. Please observe a 150 word limit. Time limits on public comments will apply. Written comments will be entered into the public record. Please be mindful that the teleconference will be recorded, as any Board of Library Trustees meeting is recorded. And all other rules of procedure and decorum will apply for Board of Library Trustees meetings conducted by teleconference or video conference. This meeting will be conducted in accordance with the Brown Act, Government Code Section 54953. Any member of the public may attend, or in this case, listen to this meeting. Questions regarding this matter may be addressed to E. Franklin, Administrative Secretary, 510-981-6102. The Board of Library Trustees may take action related to any subject listed on the agenda. So I'm going to open up the regular meeting of May 6th, 2020. We have all trustees present, but if Eve is here and listening, can you hear me, Eve?
Yes, I can hear you.
You want to do roll call?
We see you.
Good. I can. Okay. Yes. You want to do roll call, Eve?
Okay. John Solosky.
Present.
Amy Roth.
Here I am.
Diane Davenport.
I'm here.
Judy Hunt.
Here.
And Sophie Hahn.
Present.
Thank you.
Okay. We do move on to public comment on non-agenda items. I have not checked the list yet. Oh, we have. Are there any hands for public comment on non-agenda matters? Speakers are allowed up to 3 minutes, if there are any. Okay, I don't see anybody. We move now, unless somebody interrupts, to comments from the library unions. And let me check that list again. Andrea, is there anybody from the unions who wishes to speak? Yes, Andrea, you are recognized. Please go. All right. All right. Let's see if that works. Did that work?
That works.
Okay.
Awesome. I don't get to be on video. I guess I'm not fancy enough. But there you see me in my SEIU t-shirt. You can imagine it looks similarly where I'm actually sitting in my dining room. My name's Andrea Malarkey. I'm an SEIU 10-to-1 shop steward, member of the bargaining team, and a proud Berkeley Public Librarian. And I'm here to speak to you tonight about some of the things that are impacting our library workers in the COVID-19 crisis. As you all know, as library workers, we are proud to serve the Berkeley community in all of its diversity. And as disaster service workers, we are proud to continue that service in a multitude of ways. You may or may not be aware that by and large, it has been library workers filling the new and evolving frontline disaster service assignments, far more so than any other department in the city. We've been assigned to work at the city's COVID-19 testing site, in the shower programs where our unhoused neighbors can maintain personal hygiene, enforcing boundaries in public spaces to prevent congregation and the spread of COVID. We've been supporting our local businesses that are struggling and delivering PPE to other frontline workers and food to vulnerable seniors. These are above and beyond the ordinary tasks that we thought we were going to be getting when we signed up to be library workers. And as we take on all these new responsibilities, or as we continue the familiar work of being library workers in new ways and under new circumstances,
Oh, I lost her.
Yeah, Andrea, are you there?
I had an incoming phone call. You're kind of fading in and out. Yeah, I had an incoming phone call, and that's my my biggest beef with Zoom is that there's no way to be on Zoom and mute everything else that I found yet. SEIU 10-to-1 believes strongly that worker safety has to be at the forefront of these considerations. We can only serve our community as safely as we treat our workers, and infected workers risk infecting residents. For us, safety means providing adequate training for workers to carry out jobs safely, protective equipment for frontline workers, access to testing, and support as we navigate the new world of work in the era of COVID-19. And so whether we're working in the field or trying to balance the needs of kids doing school at home and caring for vulnerable family members while also meeting our responsibilities as essential workers and the complications of life during a shelter in place order, we must acknowledge that all of this takes its toll. Let me underscore, we are proud to serve. We chose careers in public service because we love the public. And we chose careers at Berkeley Public Library because we specifically love our Berkeley community. And what we ask is that as library workers continue these efforts and expand into new areas of work, that you support SEIU 10-to-1 and our demands that the city administration meet with us to confer over the impacts of COVID as required by law. We're really not asking for the moon. We're asking for respite for the essential workers standing up for and serving our community during this time of crisis, and for adequate training and access to testing and workers' compensation protections for frontline workers. And I wrote this more than 2 hours ago, which means that, incidentally, this last thing, the protection, the workers' comp protections, that's something we asked for from the city in our proposal on April 1st, a proposal that they just replied to today, 5 weeks later. I don't know about you, but 5 weeks in COVID time feels like 5 months without an answer or communication or information. And when we got that answer, they refused us this presumption. But thankfully, just today, it's something that the governor provided for by a statewide executive order. And it just points out how far Berkeley administrators are out of alignment with the values of Berkeley and, in fact, the whole state. So to sum up, we only want the resources to do the essential work of serving our community safely. And we appreciate your support for us as workers while we support the residents of Berkeley. Thank you.
Thank you. Let me check. Good, I don't see any other hands for now. That was the union comment for tonight. And thank you for the comment. I am going to go to board members. Comments from the Board of Library Trustees. Right. And I'm just going to go down my, I have everybody listed in the order they came on, I guess, but I'm just going to go through the list in order. That way it's easy for me to keep track of things. Diane, you're up first.
I don't have very many comments. I have been watching the Urban Library Council's updates from various directors and whatnot in Canada and America and what they've been doing. And mostly it seems to be clearly sheltering in space. And it seems clear that librarians are some of the smartest people out there, knowing that this is important and serious and needs to be done. It's no fooling around with this. So I just, so respectful of the profession again in how it's handling this. Thank you.
Thank you. Judy.
Thank you, John. My one comment is libraries, as any other business in the nation, are really being impacted by COVID-19. And I'm glad we will be discussing the budget, because I've been reading how libraries are the first organizations cut in city governments in terms of budget. They're cutting hours and the like. So I think we are at a good point to discuss budget tonight, and that our acting director and finance person have been good stewards of our finances.
Thank you, Judy. Amy, you're up next, and could you unmute yourself, please?
Yes. I really have no comments at this time.
Okay, thank you. And that would leave Sophie, and I see, okay, Sophie, good, there you are, good.
Thank you, I just wanna express my gratitude to the library staff, who in fact have been deployed, doing a wide variety of incredibly important work for the city as we scramble and now rise to meet the very challenging demands of COVID-19. I think we've done a really amazing job as a city. We should be very proud of the results that we have. Very, very low infection rates. I just was on a briefing today with all the senior staff and the city manager, and I think we have only about 8 active COVID cases right now, only one person in the hospital. Almost everybody else is recovered, and we of course had one death, which was very sad, but I'm sure people are keeping up minute to minute on what it looks like throughout the county, the Bay Area, the state, the country, and the world. And I think Berkeley has just done an extraordinary job. And that is not in small part due to the flexibility and willingness of our library staff members to redeploy to a very wide spectrum of duties that for which they have been very greatly appreciated. I hear it in all my meetings with the Economic Development Director. I think some of you may be aware that Berkeley deployed small business renter and arts organization grants. We did that, and we created a program, took in more than 1,000 applications, and granted funds in 3 weeks, which is unheard of. Well, most of the readers of those applications were librarians. So there's all these places where the incredible people who work with the library are making a difference. And I hope one day that Elliot, when things have settled down, that we can actually get a really full report of exactly what those deployments were so that we can properly acknowledge and thank. And I do also want to acknowledge that for our library, acting library director, Elliot Warren, and other management, and Eve working with them to deal with the closure of the library, figuring out how to keep the library functions that needed to keep going, and working to help make sure that the library can support the rest of the city. They've been working 15-hour days, and I really want to express my gratitude to them as well. I think it's hard to explain how big the lift has been for the city and just how much we have asked of our employees and truly how much they have delivered. So that is my comment for today. Enormous gratitude and recognition of what has been done here in Berkeley with the help of the library.
Thank you, Sophie. Okay, so I will take a couple of minutes, and I want to echo Sophie's comments, because I also want to thank first our library employees who are dedicated, committed, and very patient library employees, who some of whom have been redeployed to City of Berkeley essential work. And I want to thank, particularly I want to right now also thank Elliot and Eve, Alicia, for setting up this meeting and helping us with the technology. Danielle, for continuing the search with Diane. Thank you, Diane. So there are a lot of people in the city, not just library staff, but I want to also thank the general staff, the Berkeley staff, and everybody in Berkeley for taking this seriously. And I have noticed that in Berkeley compared to elsewhere. And I think that's why we have the low rate, Sophie. I think comparatively. When I'm out, and I don't go out that often, but when I have to go to the store or whatever, people are wearing masks, people are practicing physical distancing. I've noticed that the residents of Berkeley have taken this seriously, and that really is encouraging for me. It reassures me. And I want to thank the residents, because this is not, it's been a month and a half, almost 2 months now of shelter in place. It does get a little weary after a while. There's only so much to do, right? But we're persevering, and we will persevere, and we'll get through this. And I want to thank everyone in Berkeley for helping create the atmosphere necessary to make Berkeley what it is and Berkeley's success here. Thank you all. I think that's it for now. I probably missed some of the thank yous to specific people, but I want to thank council members and the mayor, because I think they've done remarkable work under trying conditions. So I guess we can move on now. We have next on the agenda, we have the consent calendar. And you know, Elliot, if you wouldn't mind, could I pull the contract for KBM and put that on action so you can explain that?
Sure, if you'd like.
Where's Elliot? Is he gone?
You can't hear me?
I couldn't hear that.
I can hear you.
Okay, sorry, maybe I wasn't close enough to the mic. Yes.
Okay, so I'm gonna pull consent calendar item D, the contract KBM, because it's a little confusing in the calendar itself. Other than that, if anybody wants to move the 2 minutes and the contract for one workplace, I will entertain a motion.
I'll move the consent calendar, John.
Okay, mine is
I said D. It. Oh, sorry.
And that was Judy?
Yeah.
Yes, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you, Diane, with my second.
No, it's fine.
Okay.
That's fine. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you, Diane. Thank you, Judy.
No problem.
I guess we should do a roll call, right? Eve?
We
Because otherwise we don't really know who's voting.
You're muted, Eve.
I think a roll call vote, Amy.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry. Sorry about that. John Soloski?
Yes.
Amy Ross?
Yes.
Diane Davenport?
Yes.
Sophie Hahn?
Yes.
And Judy Hunt?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right. Good. Thank you. That passed. So we have the action calendar, but let's, Elliot, if you wouldn't mind just going over KBM, Hogue contract and the exact amount there.
So the what John is referring to is a mistake in the contents of the for the agenda. Unfortunately, there was a mistake made in number D for KBM Hogue, in which, although the item has the proper amount, the amount for this proposed contract is $273,600.61 rather than the $56,974.22 that's in the table of contents. The item itself is correct and refers to this. This is a contract for furnishings for the first and second floor, mainly for the teen space. This is all being paid for by the foundation fund rather than the library tax fund. So this is a substantial portion of what the foundation has committed to purchasing for the central space improvements project.
Good, thank you.
Is that your only concern, John?
That was my, I just wanted just clarity on the issue.
Fine, thank you.
On the item. If there's no questions or discussion about that, I'll entertain a motion to accept that, to adopt it.
So moved.
That's Amy, and is there a second?
I'll second it.
Second. Oh.
Okay, I think Diane was first.
No problem.
Eve, you want to let's take a roll call.
Okay, John Soloski?
Yes.
Amy Ross?
Yes.
Diane Davenport?
Yes.
Sophie Hahn?
Yes.
Judy Hunt?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Eve. That passes. Okay. Now, action calendar. We have one item on our action calendar. That is the biennial budget update for fiscal year 2021. Library Tax Fund 101. So Dennis or Elliot, who's going to start this off?
Dennis, would you, I don't mind. Yeah, barely. Dennis? Okay. Since you want to try one more time, Dennis? Maybe you can call back into the meeting.
I don't know why I did that. Can you hear me?
He's all broken up.
Yeah, it's horrible.
It's not that I was not correct, but let me speak to
Tom. I want to say that all of us should mute except for the person speaking, and that may help quite a bit.
Okay, let me, while he's trying to get back in, I'll use up a little bit of time to just describe where we're at, and maybe this will be redundant with some of Dennis, what Dennis would say. But just a reminder to the board and to the community that we're talking about the second year of a biennial budget. The expenditures element of this remains unchanged. There had been some discussion about, and we have the opportunity, or the board has the opportunity, to recommend to City Council any changes, but that is not obligatory. There is no obligation to do so. Some years in the second year of a biennial budget, the board has recommended changes, and some years it hasn't. As it stands in this agenda item, we are not making any recommended changes to the expenditures budget. However, there is a substantive issue at stake, and that has to do with the decision to do one of a few different options related to accepting or recommending that the library increase the basis for the tax, the library tax fund, by either of the two indices that come out in the spring. We've just received the personal income growth rate of 3.73. And as described in this item, there is some concern that the PIG relates to economic conditions that no longer exist. So we've highlighted that in the budget rationale. Even though I'm making the recommendation, I want to be really clear that the library, that this is all really new and happening quickly. Another kind of substantive thing that has happened related to expenditure, on the other hand, is the fact that there is indeed a hiring freeze that the city manager has decreed that will negatively affect some elements of library services, perhaps, but it will definitely positively affect the expenditures element, meaning that there will be some savings related to that. So those are the two, the reality on the ground. What the board needs to do today is make a decision related to whether or not you want to recommend to the city council that it adopt an increase to the library tax fund based upon the personal income growth index that just came out. Wait until the CPI comes out, and apparently the date that it's supposed to be issued is May 12th. However, it doesn't always appear then, or make a recommendation of some other sort to the city council. And there could be a number of different options if the board does not want to recommend that we accept either or enable the city council to consider that. Now, there are at least four, perhaps five other similar taxes that typically do get increased based upon one of these indexes that I think Dennis, I don't recall offhand what those are, but perhaps if Dennis is back on, he can mention that. And so annually the city does consider those. And so I think there's a concern perhaps that we align ourselves to the highest, to the greatest extent with whatever the city may or may not be doing with those other indexes.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. I don't have anything else to add at this point, because I think it's hard for us to. I think there will be some changes that we would need to make. They're not tremendous if the board does make a decision to not move forward with an index, with recommending that the library tax fund be increased by the index rate. But I could, if that is something that you guys want to, that the board wants to talk about, I can talk about what those, or Dennis or I can talk about what that would mean.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Elliot.
We can't hear you, Diane.
Ooh, Sophie, you can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, Sophie, hold on 1 minute. I haven't checked to see if there's any public comment on that. I don't see any hands in public comment in the attendees. Okay, Sophie, you're on.
Well, thank you very much. So the one question that we have to answer today is whether we're going to recommend to the city council to increase the tax for the fiscal year 2021, as we routinely do, either by the PIG number, or wait and consider the, what is the other number?
CPI.
Yeah. I'm thinking COL, but that's not right.
Yeah.
CPI. Or, pursue other options. And I wanted to just relate a little bit about what the other options might be and share some conversation that I had with the city manager today about this and some questions that I raised with Elliot and Dennis as well. So usually we just roll along. Bolt usually picks one or the other number, recommends to the city council, raise the tax by this amount. Next year, the city council folds that into an action that we take where we look at the four other taxes that also are subject to these potential yearly increases. And it all goes by on a consent calendar. It's usually fairly routine. Obviously this year, we have very little information about how our residents are doing and how they're weathering this. We do know that many people have lost their jobs. We know a lot of businesses have closed. And we also know that, you know, a lot of people are worried about whether they can play tennis again. That's what my inbox is full of. But we really don't know. And I think then that raises the question of what should we do in a year when we have an unparalleled crisis and we have very low information. So my conversation with the city manager, I think her recommendation, and we don't have to take her recommendation, but you know, the way she's been thinking about these taxes increases that we do so routinely is that if we don't absolutely need them, that we should consider foregoing them, the increases. So one option that we could do is that we could send a recommendation to council basically saying, we think that there should be some consistency in, you know, across all these taxes. And we know the city council is going to have to consider the broader questions about feasibility. And by the way, we are doing a community survey in May. So by the time council makes these decisions, we should have at least some preliminary information about how people are doing. And the survey is going to include questions about, you know, has income been reduced in your household? And are you experiencing hardship? And is anyone sick? So there's going to be a bunch of questions to kind of find out, you know, take the temperature, find out what's going on behind all these closed doors. And so I think the council will probably have a little more information to make the decision. And when I look at our, you know, financial situation at the library, it seems to me that we could get along in 2021 and still deliver all our services on a 2020 budget. So the amount of money that we, if we just stuck with the amount of money we got in 2020, we would not really have to tighten our belt too much, especially in light of the fact that with the hiring freeze, our salary savings are going to be greatly increased. And we did that, we put aside a reserve. And so we can also draw on money from our reserve if we need to cover things for a year. So given that I think that we can survive 2021 on a 2020 income, I think we should either send a soft recommendation to council, maybe soft recommendation to increase or soft recommendation to not increase, but basically say, you know, we think it's good for this to be considered consistent with other things that are being done by the city of Berkeley and to be thought through from this needs perspective in a more universal way. I'm worried that we might be an outlier in recommending either to increase or not. And believe me, I'm not looking for more hard decisions to make on council. But I just think, I think that might be the best course for us, which is to essentially a soft recommendation or no recommendation and ask council to consider it in the broader framework of what we're going to do across the board on raising these taxes. So I wanted to put that out there, share with you the conversations, the way the city manager is thinking about these things, and put this recommendation in the context of other things that we are going to be considering very soon, but in COVID time, it's a century, right? We will know more a month from now as a council. So I will leave that as my initial comments, and I'm sure there's way more conversation, and I look forward to hearing what others are thinking.
Thank you, Sophie. Thanks for the summary and the overview there. I saw Eve's hand for a moment, but now, Eve, did you have a comment? Eve, she's muted. Okay. If people could use the hand function, that would really be helpful. But Amy, did you want to speak?
Well, I did, but I'm sorry. I can't find my electronic raise my hand.
So that's all right. Go ahead. Okay. Go.
I only have one thing to say. It's a complicated issue and there's a lot of factors, but it seems to me that because we lack data, it would be very hard to justify a request to the city council for increasing the whichever number, the tax rate for whichever number we pay. I mean, if somebody said, why do you, need this, we would not be able to back it up, seems to me. That's all I have to say right now.
John?
John? Yes, Diane, go.
I agree with Amy. When I read this, went back and was looking at the mayor's town hall this weekend, and he was talking about the city being at least $13 million in debt and whatnot. It seemed to me that the one thing that we've done really well in this crisis is to work together as a city team. And I just feel like it's hard to justify an increase of even 3.7% if other departments are going to be cut severely. So I'm with Amy. I think we don't recommend it or we wait until we know more, however we can do that.
Okay. Judy, I'm going to call on you to make sure you're still there.
Yes, I'm here, and I do have a comment, if that's okay.
Please, go ahead.
I'm in accord with Amy and Diane, and I think because I've heard from city residents, they look at our reserves and ask, why does the library need more money? And I think we would be hard-pressed to even consider an increase. No one wants to hear an increase in taxes at this point in time because everyone is dealing with uncertainty. And I think it would be wise and demonstrate clearly that we're good stewards. Plus, we do have projects in play now that have been put on hold because the library has been closed. So once we become open, those projects will resume. So I do not think it would be wise for us to ask for an increase in library tax at all.
Thank you, Judy. I do want to call on myself, but Sophie, you still have your hand up. Is that deliberate?
I'm sorry. Usually you would take it down, but I'm happy to take it down
myself. I didn't even know that.
Okay. I know, and I don't know what functions you have on an iPad, so I will do that in the future.
Thank you. Thanks. I'm learning as I'm going here. So it sounds to me like we're all of one mind here, more or less. And I'm gonna put out there some of the numbers when I looked at the budget. We have a $1.5 million set aside for uncertainties. We call it the annual committed reserves, okay? We have $1.5 million there. On top of that, even without an increase in the budget, a 3.7 or whatever increase, I estimate we have close to $6 million fund balance on top of the $1.5 million. Now, I could be wrong there, and if I'm wrong, Dennis or Elliot point out my error there, but it seems to me, given that most city departments are going to go through some cuts, given that many are out of work and probably are feeling some financial pinch, and I think a lot of businesses are going to, I hate to say this, but I think a lot of businesses are not going to weather this loss of revenue. I think it is the wrong time, and it's the wrong look to go out and ask for more to an increase in taxes yep. right now. I just think it's the wrong look. I think we have to show a little solidarity with everybody else in Berkeley right now, even though we could legally, and there's really nothing legally stopping us. I don't think it's the right thing to do right now.
Okay, go ahead.
Elliot, am I wrong about the numbers?
Not entirely. I wouldn't use the word wrong. I would say that we have saved a good amount of money that has been put aside and is not budgeted in a specific line item, but that's going to be used for the stucco replacement. Okay. That's a substantial cost. We also have come to our attention that there's a need to replace 2 AC units at the Central Library. That's going to cost about $500,000. As well as the fact that I think Diane referred to the temporary stoppage of the construction at the Central Library, or maybe it was Judy, I'm sorry, I couldn't remember who said it, but that cost, each time a construction project is put on hold, that means that there will be additional costs associated with that, and that's an expensive project. So yes, we have had some significant savings. At least $1 million of that is the fact that the director position has been vacant. So that will go away, but that is what some of that money is savings from. So there has been some salary savings. Now, I do want to refer to one element of the expenditures budget. Included amongst that is a $300,000 line that is called, I believe it's called salary savings. Clearly, that's an underestimate of what those salary savings will actually be. The information about the hiring freeze came after we issued that proposed budget. So we can certainly increase that amount, which will be a negative to expenditures, based upon that new information. And I think that will likely be a substantial portion of what we're talking about if the board moves ahead with not recommending that the city council take the PIG or any of the indexes.
All right, good. Thank you, Elliot. Thanks for the clarification,
John.
And Sophie, I see your hand, and then was that Amy or Judy?
Yeah. Yes.
Judy. After
and
Sophie.
And Judy both. Okay, so Sophie, Amy, Judy in that order.
Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Sophie?
Okay. Yeah. So, the possibility that we would recommend increasing the tax at all is definitely one of the scenarios I had imagined and discussed with Elliot and Dennis how that would look on the expenditure side if we were to adjust which is not, I believe, not something we have to do today. It's not an action we have to take, but I don't think we want to take it without kind of knowing what that would look like. And I think that if you look on attachment 4, there is, which is sort of the big chart that's got everything on it, and you look at the fiscal 2021 adopted and the fiscal 2021 revised, they're side by side, they're basically the same. What we would do is the income number would be the same as 2020. So then we would have to reduce our 2021 expenditures to the 2020 income number. That actually involves reducing expenditures by, I'm going to say, $500,000 to $750,000. $500,000 to $750,000, because the adopted 2021 budget already assumed a 2% increase. And so if we were going to recommend a 3.7% increase, that was going to be 1.7 above the 2% that's already built in here. But now we're talking about going back to 2020 numbers. And so the 2020 numbers are going to be 2% less than our adopted 2021 budget. Does that follow? So we're going to have to figure out on the expense side how to take out about, I don't know, Dennis will tell us the exact number, but it's, I'm going to guess it's $500,000 to $750,000. Part of that can be absorbed by increasing the line for labor vacancy savings, which is our salary savings line. It's currently shown at 300,000, but that was before there was a hiring freeze. And I think Dennis will be able to tell us what a more reasonable estimate is now that we know we have a hiring freeze, and I have no idea what that is. Maybe it's 600,000, maybe it's 1 million. He's gonna tell us. But I think if we increase that number, then we don't have that much left to pull from somewhere else. And I think the logical place to pull it, whatever the remainder is, if there is a remainder, is to take it out of the reserve, to show it taken out of the reserve, because that's why we made a reserve. We just didn't know we'd need it so soon. And so I think that is the logical place. So somewhere between salary savings and increasing salary savings and taking money out of the reserve easily gets us to where we need to be with a revised 2021 expenditure side of the budget. So I'm very comfortable recommending that we not, recommending to council that the tax not be increased for 2021. And so I would like to make a motion that we send a recommendation to the Berkeley City Council to not increase, I gotta get the exact name of this fund, to not increase the library tax fund by any amount for the 2021 fiscal year. That's my motion.
Good. And to forward the budget as it is, basically.
Well, I'm not sure. Maybe we should hear from Dennis. If we're making this recommendation as an actual recommendation, then it may be that he would need to revise the budget to show these different numbers. And I think we would have to adopt that. And it's not noticed for this meeting, so we would have to adopt an amended budget before the date when all this has to be turned into the city council. So I'm happy to add that as part of the recommendation that we refer to the acting library director to bring back an amended budget for our consideration, well, budget adjustment for our consideration and approval in a timely manner. Happy to add that, but I think maybe it's up to you, Mr. Sulawski, if you want to give the floor to Mr. Warren, but maybe they can tell us what the best path is on that.
Okay. Good. Thank you, Sophie. And that is a motion, I believe. Yes?
Okay. Yes, that is my motion. I'd love to have a second, and we can always amend the motion, move it around a little bit if we need to.
I have Amy and Judy in the queue, so, and then I'll call, and Elliot, then after those, after Amy and Judy, we can hear from Elliot and Dennis. Amy?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask Elliot if the hiring freeze applies to our executive director search.
So the hiring freeze does give, allow departments to request exceptions. LaTanya is on this call. Maybe she could describe some of the details of the hiring freeze parameters, but that is my understanding. My understanding is that it does not apply for, that it applies moving forward for recruitments, not ones that are in process.
Okay, thank you.
And this is in project. LaTanya, if you want to weigh in, please.
She may have stepped out.
I'm not sure. You have to unmute yourself. Not sure.
I think you both have to unmute. You have to do from your end, and she has to do.
Yeah, well, I just tried it on my end, and it didn't unmute, so I'm not sure. All right. Give me a yell, LaTanya, if you, let's see. Is she there?
She just disappeared. So maybe she needs to come back in.
I think she disappeared. Okay. We had Amy. Now we have Judy. You were in the queue.
Well, I wanted to hear from Elliot staffing. What are the current vacancies and the impact on services since we have a hiring freeze? Hello?
I don't have the list in front of me, so I couldn't I could try to guess. I know that there are a substantial number of library aid positions that are currently vacant due to the fact that many of those library aides promoted to library assistant in the last 6 months or so. So that is our largest pool and our largest number. It's the majority of our current vacancies. And then there's a scattering of other vacancies.
I would guess, and I shouldn't say this, but I guess there would be increased costs when the capital improvements and the various projects resume once the library is open. So do you anticipate a big hit in terms of the budget, or we already have that built into the approved 2021 budget?
So yes,
so when we resume.
Sorry. Would you like me to answer now? Sorry, I didn't know if you were done.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Thanks. There's a lot of unknowns. However, the contract included contingencies. There are some change orders. The Central Library project, I think you all know, was put on hiatus a couple weeks ago, and it looks like we are going to be restarting that on Monday, and we're going to be reviewing any changes. However, I don't believe that it will have any impact on the budget. We have the money in the line item for it.
Now, I think I heard that on May 12th or thereabouts, the CPI index would come out. Would it require us to have a special meeting to discuss CPI as it relates to the budget? do you think before we send a recommendation to council?
There's no requirement that the board wait until the CPI index comes out to make a recommendation to council.
Oh, okay.
Dennis, are you on the call now? I'm not.
Yes, I am. I'm through my telephone.
Okay. Do you have anything to add to that question?
No, you're absolutely correct. So the CPI, if it comes out on schedule, will be on Tuesday, May 12th. There has been in the past where it has not come out on that date, but generally it typically does. If the normal circumstance is that there usually a second May meeting after the shortly after the CPI is released, and under normal circumstances, the library director would recommend the higher of the two. This year is a very unusual year, and so I can, if we go with the motion from what I've heard, that we just forego any increase this year, we would not necessarily need the second May meeting.
Okay.
So can I just say, because if that's the motion, or if it's going to be to defer it and give it to the council, the other, since it had been brought up about the other taxes, the other areas of the city that make that choice between the CPI and the PIG, it's paramedics, the library, parks, Measure E, and Measure GG. So all of those other four areas, in addition to the library, have to make this choice.
Okay, thank you, Dennis. Judy, were you finished?
Yes, go ahead. That helps very much.
Mm-hmm. All right. Diane, did you have a...
I don't have any further comment. I'm totally willing to second Sophie's motion, however.
Okay, good. So we have a motion with a second. I'm going to go through the list of trustees again in case there's questions or concerns. All right, Diane, you just Judy, any concerns?
I'd like Sophie to repeat the motion before we vote. That's my only.
All right, and before you do that, Sophie, let me ask Elliot and Dennis the timing to get this to council, and council approves a budget sometime in June. It's by the end of June, is that correct?
Dennis, do you know the details on this? You've been working with the budget office.
They must adopt.
When?
June 30th.
Yeah, by the end of June, okay. So we do have a little bit, okay. Okay. All right. Who did I call on? I can't remember. Judy.
No, I just asked that if Sophie could repeat her motion just before we vote.
Good. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Sophie?
Right now? Okay. Let me see if I can remember it word for word. Eve has probably jotted it down, hopefully, and it's recorded, but it was essentially... that I'm moving that Bolt recommend to the city council that the city council not increase the library tax for the 2021 fiscal year by any amount. And then we were kind of going back and forth on whether I should add to that a recommendation that the library director bring back to us an amended budget for consideration in such a manner that it is timely for the city council and the city's action. But I actually wasn't clear on whether you want me to add that or not, Dennis and Elliot.
I will let them weigh in on that, but from my point of view, this is John. From my point of view, if they need to do that, then we can call a special meeting. If they don't need to do that, then we don't need to put that in the motion right now, from my point of view, unless somebody sees something I'm not seeing.
I think
I agree, John.
Being silent on it is fine, and I trust that they will bring back whatever they need to.
I agree.
So I'll just put a period at the end of the motion as I restated it and stated it originally.
Good. Sounds good. Thank you, Sophie. Amy?
I think we're all in support of the basic idea here. I actually would prefer that we wait until the last possible moment to take action, but I will not oppose the motion.
Okay.
It's all about data for me, which is pretty thin.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Do any of the trustees have any other comments? And then Elliot and Dennis, if there's anything you want to add, if you don't want to add anything, that's fine. But if there's anything you think we need to know.
Dennis, is there anything?
Yeah, I just want to simply say that I believe that if that is the resolution that gets passed tonight, I believe we're okay. I've been asked by the budget office for them to consolidate, even though council will approve on Tuesday, June 30th, that the date that was given to me, that my drop dead date to the city for their consolidation is Friday, June 5th. So if the June 3rd meeting happens, I can bring that the revised budget to you there with the lower adjustments on expenditures, increased salary savings, those type of items.
Oh, great.
All right. Actually, that's very helpful. Thank you, Dennis.
And I believe if we do that, we will only focus upon exactly the purpose of it, which is to reconcile the difference between whatever the amount would be with the line items in the budget so that it's balanced.
Great.
All right, good. Good.
John?
Yes.
This is Judy. Sophie, would you mind just having a very clean motion that the board recommend no increase in the library tax period? Because I think we need to trust staff. If they need to come to us with a revised budget, they will, and we would have a special meeting to discuss it. So would you be willing just to have a motion that we, as a board, recommend no increase in the library tax?
Judy, I know this forum is very difficult, but that is actually what we landed on. So the motion is very simple, and it only does that. I know it's hard to follow. John, I just wanted to point out that LaTanya's back on the call, and I don't know if her answer made a difference. I think it was Judy who asked the question, but maybe before we vote, if we can get her to reply. I wasn't sure if you'd seen that. And
I hadn't noticed that. And LaTanya, I think and Judy, correct me if I'm wrong. The question was, well, Judy, why don't you state the question? I think it was about the director and director search and can we hire a director?
No, that was.
It was my question.
No, I think that was Amy's question.
That was Amy's question.
Yeah, you're correct. Oh, bless you.
Sorry.
Go wash your hands. I'll wash mine. Okay, you can.
Yeah. Should I put my mask on?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, Latanya, the question was just, I know that Elliot mentioned that there's a hiring freeze in the city, and I wanted to know how that would impact our search for the executive director, whether the freeze applies to that position, whether we can get an exception if we need it, you know, just what's the story there?
Okay, I'm going to try very quickly, if I can, to pull up the hiring freeze document, because there is a hiring freeze on, but there are a number of exceptions that are provided for by the hiring freeze. Mm-hmm. I'm going to just see here, and I want to pull up the document just so I can speak accurately to it. So the document provides for a hiring freeze effective April 27th, but it does say that exceptions can and should be granted, providing a rationale, any funding source, and any impact to if the position is left unfilled. So I think in this case, there are five rationales. We have the position is necessary to protect the health and safety, the position performs a mandated function or essential municipal service. Certainly that recruitment falls under that mandated function. The position is necessary to respond to the COVID-19 pandemic, or the position is the only classification that performs a particular function. And certainly that falls within that as well. And left unfilled would certainly limit the essential services. And so with that said, though there is a hiring freeze, our director, department head level vacancies and recruitments have continued to proceed forward because they are truly at that level where they are managing full on departments, very necessary single positions. And we just don't have, you know, enough, it would have a negative impact left unfilled, or in your case, you know, continuing on in this status that you're in now. So we have a couple on the city side that we are continuing to engage in. One is our public works director. Mm-hmm. Bill Harrington officially retired on May 1st. We're holding him on until we can get on our public director. Under, you know, this pandemic, it is a little more challenging, and as if public sector needed any delays in recruitment, right? We were already quite delayed enough just by our processes, but it's delayed us just a bit as well because it's difficult to get a candidate to fly, you know, if it's out of town or somebody in person to meet the board. Right. But we do have that as a position that is going forward. We recently filled the HSCS director position right before the shelter in place went in. And then we are also moving forward. We have the budget manager. Well, Teresa's decided to stay on through August to get us through the pandemic, but we'll be fulfilling that position as well. So I do think it's well within your need and your right to continue to move forward with filling this very critical recruitment.
Thank you very much. That's very helpful.
You're welcome. Thank you. And Judy, did you have a question?
No.
Okay. All right. No. Thank you. Let's see now. No hands up. Thank you, LaTanya. I don't see any hands. Should we take a vote?
Yes.
Roll call. Is Eve here?
Okay, John Pawlowski.
Yes.
Amy Roth.
Yes.
Diane Davenport.
Yes.
Sophie Hahn.
Yes.
And Judy Hunt.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, good. Thank you, folks. If we need to, we will revisit this, but I think essentially we've done the important part of this. Okay, I lost my agenda. My other device shut down. Okay, all right. What's next? I think the director, Elliot's report, yes?
Yes.
All right.
Somehow, staying at home has caused my allergies to go haywire. So I'm suffering through some hay fever right now. So I do want to echo much of what almost all of you referred to in your comments, which is just how much the library and library staff are contributing to the COVID-19 response of the city. Now, we are a city department, and this has been a real opportunity for library staff and everybody involved in the library to really buckle down and work together. There are a few people, in fact, on our team here, including Amy Reeder. I know that Andre Malarkey, who's also talked today, is contributing. And I just want to say just a huge thank you to the staff for being willing to take the risk of being disaster service workers and contributing to this collective effort to protect health. This is huge. This is something that we will all remember the entirety of our lives, and something that we can really feel positive about through this struggle of trying to survive for and helping our community do so. Really, really, really important work. At the same time, we know how important the library is for our community. And I also want to thank the community for being patient as we work through this process of having to delegate and allocate staff to things other than what we love about the library, which is being able to come in the library, get books, check out books, come to story times, come to events, hang out in the library. These are community places that really matter. Just, you know, not just for that, but for sheltering people during the daytime. There are very few places in the community that people can come and do this. So we know that this is a huge sacrifice. In many ways, all of us are sacrificing. And one of those is not having access to the range of materials that people normally do and services. We have been doing our utmost, and I think this report refers to it, to simultaneously, and we did so even before we closed, to magnify the access points that people do have. Some of the things I've referred to in this report, and we've been ad nauseum talking about, are increased access to eBooks through providing a greater number of OverDrive titles, a greater number of Hoopla titles, promoting Inky, adding Simply E, adding access to Ancestry.com. We also put a substantial amount of effort into transforming our website so that these things could be easy to find. I want to especially thank Amy Reeder for also ensuring that we're getting out the word to community members on an almost biweekly basis, highlighting, working with staff to highlight the kinds of things that people that are hidden that people can use and that are meaningful. And we've seen substantial results. Children's book checkouts, electronic children books at checkouts have doubled. Other eRoy's resources has gone up at least 50%. My cat is really bothering me right now, so I'm just going to show her. What's a Zoom call without a cat, right?
Are you wondering why you have allergies?
I am. It's a good point. Just kick her out and everything will go away. Unfortunately, that hasn't worked. So we've also made access to the Washington Post from our website, and we're continuing to look at more. And so this has been an opportunity for us to highlight something that we do relatively well, make them better. And I believe that moving forward, we will see, because this is going to last, this isn't going to end. There isn't going to be a date at which suddenly COVID-19 is gone. That's not going to happen. So we are going to see people who are either making their own decisions whether or not there's a stay-at-home order, whether or not there's a specific health order. People are going to change their habits. And so we're trying to anticipate and work through this. And one of the things that we're also doing, and staff are spending a whole lot of time right now doing, is planning for what reopening will look like. Libraries throughout the country are working together to come up with different plans based upon the unknown. What is the scenario gonna be? What are the public health officers gonna decree tomorrow? And so what we're planning right now is the idea that we would be able to provide some semblance of physical access to physical services without enabling people to come into the buildings. These are enclosed spaces that are designed for social activity. Unfortunately, that's the dichotomy of what we need to do under COVID-19. So we're trying to navigate this, and I'm looking forward to seeing the recommendations that this team of staff are doing, and then moving forward with implementing with the support of the public health officer. So we are not going to take any action, and I want the community to be really, really aware, and the board to be aware, and staff to be aware. We're not going to take any action until we have had that vetted by the public health officer of the city of Berkeley. And that our number one priority right now is community and staff safety. So although we all want to have access, and access is our number one kind of thing that we do as libraries, and we want to provide you access, we cannot right now, and we will try to do so as well as we can. And I hope this report indicates some of the places that we're going to, some of the things that we're considering, identifying ways to safely provide access, to physical collections, identifying ways for staff to safely work in shared workplaces. These are our priorities, and there are a number of other things. I also want to accentuate a third element. We are moving forward with the summer reading program. This is awesome because this is an important thing, particularly now that school has been very difficult to navigate for community members. People are in different statuses. We want something that's as consistent as possible for children and families through the summer. And so we will be doing a summer reading program that includes, to the extent possible, gifts or prizes, I should say, including drawings. And so we have a team that's working right now of librarians. We're working right now on developing what that will feel like and look like. And it's likely to be through an app. There are a number of libraries that in years past have already moved forward with using apps for this, including Alameda County Library and Oakland Public Library. So I think staff are learning from what they've done to be able to provide everybody with access to a summer reading program.
Great.
Great.
Thank you, Elliot.
You're welcome.
Questions from board members? Any comments, questions? Thank you. Thank you. Should I go down Amy the list or are you going to just, Amy?
Yeah, I have my hand up.
Oh, okay, I didn't see
I do.
It. Go.
I think, Elliot, I think you and all the staff are just doing a fabulous job. And there's, in my own mind, I don't think there's anything more important for community goodwill than the library. And that leads me to a little, just a question that I had actually for a while. You know, all the communications that we get from, they go in the, somebody writes a letter to the Bolt and Eve sends it to us. But then I'm always in a black hole as to what happens after that. Who does somebody answer it? Well, I assume somebody does, but who answers those? What do they say? Is, you know, I don't think that's quite enough. I'd like to know, I would be happy to know more later, if you know what I'm saying, right? For me, it's not enough to say, oh, so-and-so wrote in and said, why don't you have a drive-through window like McDonald's? I would like to know more about what happens after that. That's it.
Good, thank you, Amy. Diane?
I don't have any further comment. I think that we're doing exactly the right thing, that we are following what the city is doing. It's clear, absolutely, that staff and public safety are the primary things right now, even though, as Elliot said, access has been our word in the past. It's certainly safety at this point. And, you know, I so respect how the senior staff is thinking about this and the plans that are being made. So I look forward to seeing what they plan and the imagination that'll come into play on them.
Thank you, Diane. Judy?
No, I don't have any comments at this point, no more than to say thank you to staff. I think under the circumstances, they've been very flexible and adaptable to whatever has been requested of them.
Thank you. Sophie?
I'm good.
Okay. Very good. All right, Elliot. Thank you. And I, as I think Diane pointed out, I'm really appreciative that safety and public health is the top priority. And it's not just, I don't just see it and hear it from library, from us. I hear it and see it at the city level, everywhere. And again, that's reassuring to me because this stuff is serious. And I don't think enough people realize that, quite honestly. But I won't get into that here. We move on. Thank you all. We move to, I think Danielle's up with recruitment.
Yes, I'm here. This is Danielle McMillan, the Associate HR Analyst for the library. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. I just wanted to confirm. I wanted to start off by thanking LaTanya and her staff for all of their assistance. As you know, LaTanya affirmed that during the hiring freeze, the Director of Library Services recruitment will move forward. The director is, for the library is an essential and singular position in the city. So in that regard, in mid-March of this year, we initiated the application process after conducting a very expansive community engagement activities that involve key stakeholders, including members of BALT, representatives from the Friends of the Berkeley Public Library, the Berkeley Public Library Foundation, the unions, and as well as staff and community members. Very robust community engagement. So CPS, the consultant is working closely, has already worked closely with members of BALT as well to include advertising materials for the recruitment, specifically a wonderful brochure and a fantastic video, which the purpose was to inform potential applicants of the desired candidate qualities for this position and the benefits of working at the Berkeley Public Library. So continuing in March, CPS and library staff officially opened the recruitment and went live. We included this brochure and video as part of the recruitment for applicants to review. The recruitment was initially scheduled to close April 27th. We were gonna keep it open for 6 weeks. And then as you know, a week after we opened the recruitment, we got the shelter in place order. So due to the impact of COVID-19, we elected to make the recruitment continuous, meaning that we're accepting applications on a rolling basis to give us a chance to receive more applications. To date, we have received a robust response from prospective candidates. And currently CPS is conducting preliminary screenings of those prospective candidates based on minimum qualifications, and of course, insights from all of the community engagement activities that we conducted. So once the preliminary screening process is complete, we can expect the client report from CPS to be presented to the board at a special closed meeting, which will need to be scheduled. And the purpose of that will be to review the CPS's recommendations regarding leading candidates. And Pam is here along with guests, if she would like to join in and comment as well on the status of the this active recruitment and the current selection activities. I welcome her to do that.
Thank you, Danielle. This is Pam. Can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Yes. And welcome.
Thank you. So Susan Hildreth is also on the line with us tonight. Susan and I have been very busy over the last month doing our active outreach, encouraging candidates to apply. And I'm happy to say that as of the 27th, we actually have 36 applicants, and 14 of those have met the minimum qualifications. I've already screened 11, and I have 3 more to do tomorrow. Susan and I are both very pleased with the applicant pool. I think that you have very strong candidates, and that it's going to be, you have a group of candidates that you can actually make a true choice from. And that when it gets down to it, it may be difficult to make that choice, which is, that's the hallmark of a good recruitment. So, I think we have been pleasantly surprised. I know we all went into this with just a bit of trepidation, but I think that, being able to share with them, frankly, how dedicated the committed the BALT is to making this recruitment successful, all of the things that Mr. Warren, that Elliot has been able to accomplish with staff over the last couple of years, that things are moving forward, has just, people are excited about it, and that they feel that this is an opportunity for the to move forward in a really positive way and to be able to partner with Elliot and the rest of the staff in moving Bolt's initiatives forward. And as Danielle said, our next step would be to schedule that closed meeting so that I can provide you with that report. Certainly, we also need to talk about, after that, we had our initial plan was to have panel interviews. We were talking about two different panels that would include subject matter experts, probably union representation, maybe two Bolt members that would interview the, you know, 6 to 8 candidates. You know, that's up to Bolt to decide who they'd like to move forward. And then they would recommend, you know, 2 or 3 top finalists that we move to references. Then those individuals would interview with Bolt, do meet and greets with staff. We also talked about 1 or 2 other assessment types of activities, whether that would be a presentation or also possibly doing a leadership assessment. And so because of where we find ourselves with COVID, obviously, as LaTanya mentioned, people can't travel if we're going to do those things in person. We have successfully done several recruitments now with at least that first panel round virtually, and that have been successful. In fact, in Bozeman, Montana, we completed a city manager search, which is even more difficult possibly than a library director, but I'm not sure. And we did the entire thing virtually. So we definitely have the technology to be able to move forward in that manner, but certainly that's up to Bolt.
Okay, good. Thank you. And you mentioned Susan is here. She's one of the one of the panelists. So Susan, did you have anything to add?
I think Pam gave a very full report. I just really am very pleased with the response and the pool that we have. Given the current situation, people are hesitant to even think about changing jobs. And I think you have a very good pool, and hopefully you'll have some good choices. So I'm really very pleased. And I would also say, even given these challenging conditions, I would really encourage you to move forward, because things change quickly and you don't want to put any of these strong candidates at risk of having some other opportunity. So I would encourage you to move forward.
Good, thank you. Board members, I'm just going to go through the list and see if there's any questions or concerns at this point. Diane?
Pam, my question at this point would be, do you think that it's possible sometime between now and our June Bolt meeting that we could have that closed meeting and you could discuss where we are with candidates right now?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I could do that as early as the latter part of next week. You know, I want to get the reports to you, you know, 2 to 3 days ahead of time, so you have an opportunity to review the material before we have the meeting, especially doing it in a virtual setting. I think you want to have already decided on what your questions are about candidates, et cetera, but we provide you with all of the application materials. We'll provide you with any social media that, or, you know, online media that we have found, newspaper clippings. I will have a summary of my interviews with each of the candidates. So there's a good bit of information to go through with 14 of them. Mm-hmm. And so you'll want to do that ahead of time. Right now, we can do those in hard copy, but I think at this point that doing a soft copy just electronically is the way to go. I would stress, as I have many times, that this is completely confidential. So that information, you know, cannot be shared outside of the board. But we can definitely, I mean, I was anticipating that we would be doing that in the next 10 days or so.
Well, that sounds great to me. And that seems like the next obvious step forward. And at that point, then we'd have to discuss panels, and that's moving us to the end of June, 1st of July. And, you know, maybe we'll have something opening up a little bit, and maybe not. We can decide how we're going to move ahead.
I would add that I think that one of the things that really puts us in a good position as well is that the Palo Alto director search has been put on indefinite hold. And I'm not sure actually that it is going to come back. One or two candidates that were in both pools, frankly. And I think that that is, has put us in a good position.
Excellent. Thank
you. All right, good. Good, good for us. Judy, you're up.
I was just wondering, could you share with us just briefly where candidates hail from? Are we getting a cross-section of folks primarily from the Western region, or are they from Midwest? Could you just share with that that information with us at this time on the 13 folks?
The majority are from the West Coast.
Maybe
four or so that are from out of state. I think there's a couple that are from out of state that are probably going to be in my group one. But primarily it is West Coast.
Okay. Second, I know Sophie mentioned the importance of diversity in terms of recruitment. Could you share with us what that looks like at this point in terms of the 13 folks who are the viable candidates?
I am very pleased with the diversity of the group. When you consider what the diversity of applicants is that are qualified for this position, frankly,
right,
that it's very skewed female and it's very skewed Caucasian, but there are at least two African-American males, I think maybe three African-American males. I don't have the EEO report in front of me. There's one female of color. So I'm pleased with those 14.
Okay. Well, hopefully you can share that with us after.
Yes, it'll be part of the report. Mm-hmm.
Good.
Okay, thank you, Judy. Amy?
I have no questions. Thank you.
Thank you. And Sophie?
I'm delighted by this report. Thank you to everyone who's moved this forward and really excited. So, looking forward to meeting our next director. I would like to also just shout out for Elliot Warren. We gave him a hard job, and he's been doing it now for 2-3 years without a deputy. And I think that to the extent that we are able to attract good candidates, it may be more about him than about us. So I just want to put that out there, express gratitude for stepping in at a very, very, very difficult time. And really, we couldn't ask for a better acting director to have put us in this position. Thank you, Elliot.
You're here.
Thank you, Sophie. And Elliot, I want to echo those comments. And, you know, you've had pretty much everything thrown at you. And some things, a couple of things that none of us would have predicted, you know.
Ain't over till it's over.
My goodness.
Never know.
My goodness. And more power to you, Elliot. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you, Pam, and thank you, Susan. Good report. Very, very heartening. Thank you. Unless there's other comments here, we move on. Well, the last information report is the City Council district redistricting. Applications for that, for those positions are going to start in September, I believe. And it's based on the census. And I'm not sure where the census is going to be this year. I'm quite honestly, I'm not certain there is going to be a complete census, but we'll see about that. I guess we'll know very soon.
Anybody have any comments about that?
No.
No, I don't see any. Okay. And our final thing, items for future agendas. I think we might have the budget, possibly. That's up to Elliot and Dennis to figure out. Other than that, what do we got?
Director search.
Director search, of course. Thank you.
I think one of the things that we need to remember in this is that we also need to sit down and decide what our director evaluation process is going to be. And we need to do that while the search itself is still going on. We don't want to get caught with the person coming and we have how we're going to onboard them and evaluate them during the next year. So let's put that high on our agenda.
I also,
all right, good.
Oh, I see Amy is.
Go ahead, Elliot, if you wish.
Okay. I expect that we will get a final values mission statement overview by Building Blocks, the company that we worked with to do that on the next meeting.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you, Elliot.
I apologize. I expect that Building Blocks, the consulting firm who is working with the board on the mission and vision statement work, will provide a presentation at the next board meeting.
Okay.
All right.
And Amy has her hand raised.
Amy?
I just wanted to say, in support of what Diane just said, it behooves all of us to make sure that this director is successful. And absolutely, our part in that is giving them goals and guiding them along their way and evaluating their performance so that they can be successful. So that's our job. And I agree with Diane 110%, as they
all
say.
All right,
thank you. All right, anybody else? If nobody has anything else, I think we can adjourn this meeting. And thank you all.
Thank you, John.
We did it. Thanks, John.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you.
We got through it. Good. Good job, folks. Good job.
Thanks, Dan. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks, Alicia.